Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Emma McAdam, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is the podcast where I condense mental health skills into bite-sized nuggets of help. Hello, and welcome to day 24 of 30 Skills in 30 Days for Better Relationships. In this section, we're going to learn about assertiveness. Now, I am not a natural at this, but like all skills, it is a skill that you can learn and practice until you're good at it. This video is sponsored by BetterHelp, where you can get professional, affordable online counseling for around $65 a week. So check out the link in the description for 10% off your first month. So I am not the most assertive person. I thought I was, and the further I get into parenting and into my relationships, the more I'm realizing that I'm actually, like, I struggle with assertiveness. Let me give you an example. One time, my in-laws were in town, and we'd ordered some Thai food. My husband had gone and picked it up. I was really looking forward to my pad Thai, my masaman curry, my little cream cheese dumplings. And when my husband gets back, he opens up the package and it was not the food we had ordered. And so my in-laws are sitting down, they're eating it anyway. And they're like, this soup is really spicy. Oh, this is some weird dish. What is this? And I don't like spicy food. And I just really wanted the food that I had ordered. I was really hungry. And my mother-in-law keeps saying, like, Emma, come sit down and eat. Come sit down and eat. And I was like, no, I'm just gonna go back to the restaurant and get the food. I'll just go drive. Don't worry about it. I'll just go drive. And my mother-in-law keeps saying, Emma, come sit down. And I'm like, but I didn't say to her, I didn't really say anything. And then eventually, the restaurant calls my husband and says, hey, are you Ryan? We had two orders for Ryan and we gave you the wrong one. We have your food, your whole food ready here. Come get it. So then at that point, my husband goes, drives up, gets the food and comes back. And we had Thai food. But while my husband was gone, my mother-in-law was like, Emma, like, do you hate me? And I was like, what? No, I don't hate you. What are you talking about? And she's like, I kept saying, like, Emma, come eat the food. And you didn't even answer me. And I was like, no, like, I don't hate you. I just was trying to avoid conflict. I didn't actually want to say, like, no, I don't want to eat that food. I want to eat the food I ordered. I was like too afraid to say that. And so instead I said nothing, which then sent the message to my mother-in-law that I just was ignoring her, that I wasn't talking to her, that I, didn't think she was worth responding to. So when I was trying to like keep the peace and just not like have conflict, basically, not try to say, no, I'm not going to eat that food you guys are telling me to eat. That left her feeling insecure and uncertain in the relationship. And I wasn't being assertive. And that was, my lack of assertiveness was causing problems in the relationship. So let's talk a little bit more about how to be assertive in a way that's respectful in relationships, because being assertive really can improve your relationships, make people feel more secure around you, and help you have better self-esteem and more certainty with yourself. This video is one section, it's one day from my online course, 30 Skills in 30 Days, for better relationships. In that course, I teach essential skills like changing your mindset, solving problems, conflict resolution skills, and a few dozen other skills that are essential for healthy, productive relationships. It's a course for couples, parents, or coworkers, really anyone who gets to interact with other humans on a regular basis. The full course includes daily exercises to lay the foundation of connection and warmth and positivity in your relationships, plus a guided workbook, and these videos, plus extra links and resources. So check it out. The link is in the description. Okay, back to the video. So in order to be a good communicator, you need to be able to help people understand you. And to do that, you need to be assertive. Being assertive means expressing your thoughts, feelings, and needs in an open and respectful way. It means standing up for yourself and others. Assertiveness is crucial for a good relationship, and it builds self-esteem Because when you're being more truthful to your values, beliefs, and opinions, you have more integrity. You're more honest with yourself, both inwardly and outwardly. People who have been trained early in life to be deferential or overly accommodating might assume that assertiveness is disrespectful. But being assertive does not mean that you should act hostile, aggressive, or controlling. Assertiveness is actually an act of respect, both for you and others. And while assertiveness is respectful, it's also sometimes uncomfortable. Being assertive requires you to speak up in a way that may make you or others feel awkward. It requires you to be vulnerable in expressing your wants and opinions and needs. And while this may not feel easy or comfortable, it's best for relationships in the long run because it's honest and it's straightforward. We all learned habitual communication styles from childhood, but most of us are unaware of how we communicate. So let's look at four types of communication styles: passive, aggressive, passive-aggressive, and assertive. The first three tend to be easier in the short term, but more harmful to relationships in the long run. Passive communication looks like keeping your head down or avoiding conflict. It often takes the form of going with the flow, always giving in to other people's requests, whether they're real or imagined, and avoiding expressing your own wants or needs. Passive people often look incredibly busy because they're rushing around trying to do everything for everybody. Passive communication often feels comfortable initially because conflict is avoided and you seem kind and selfless. But in the long run, people feel unsafe around you because they don't know what you really think. People who communicate passively often feel frustrated, exhausted, and maybe even like others are taking advantage of them. Because this form of communication undermines trust, it also undermines relationships. So here's some examples of passive communication. You want pizza tonight? Okay, that's great. When you really wanted sushi. Or your boss asks you to take on another project when you're already overloaded, and you just say, oh, sure, I can do that. Right? Now let's talk about aggressive communication. Aggressive communication tries to force others to do what we want, even if it's at the expense of their own wishes and the relationship. It can be controlling to the point of violence, like verbally or physically. Most adults who use an aggressive style feel insecure, afraid, or powerless. And like the bully on the playground, they compensate by trying to control others. Now, while aggression may be an attempt to solve problems quickly, it often leads to more relationship problems in the future. Here are some signs of aggressive communication. You believe that yelling is the only way to get things done. You feel like people are always out to get you, and if you don't defend yourself, you'll be taken advantage of. Or you use a lot of blaming language, like you language, like you always, you never. Okay, now let's talk about passive-aggressive communication. When you feel angry, upset, or like others have mistreated you, but you don't want to address the problem directly, you're probably using the passive-aggressive style of communication. You may gossip, use guilt trips and sarcasm, or you might secretly undermine others or hope for their failure. Passive-aggressive communication is an attempt to get what you want without taking responsibility for what you want. It undermines relationships because you say one thing, but you feel another. So here are some signs of passive-aggressive communication. Gossip. Talking badly about people behind their back, venting about someone instead of directly addressing the issue. Sarcasm. It lets us get a jab in at someone, but it avoids taking the blame because it was, you know, just a joke. Undermining. It's intentionally doing a task or a project poorly so that we won't be asked to do it again in the future. Or to, we undermine, we do a task poorly just to prove that their way was wrong. That, you know, instead of expressing our opinion or accepting the group decision, we just do a bad job to prove that their way was the wrong way. And another sign is triangulation. So basically, anytime you're talking to others about a person, instead of trying to solve a problem with the person, that's usually passive-aggressive communication. Okay, And now let's talk about assertive communication. So assertive communication is when you respect others and yourself. It looks like using I language, like I think, I feel, I would like. It includes stating your opinion respectfully. So you say, pizza tonight? Actually, I'm kind of tired of pizza. How about sushi? Assertive communication looks like clear feedback. So if someone turns in some work that's not done right, you say, hey, this report still needs some work. How about you take a look at it with, Tom from accounting, and then come back and bring it back to me in a couple of days when it's fixed. Assertive communication looks like direct problem solving. So saying something like, hey, boss, I'm having some trouble collaborating with Julie on the Johnson account. I think it might help if we had more clearly defined roles and objectives on the project. Assertiveness may not always feel comfortable, but it is most helpful in the long run. So, for example, if you're trying to decide where to go for dinner and your partner suggests pizza but you want sushi, being assertive means you say, I'd rather have sushi tonight. What do you think about that? That might feel a bit uncomfortable, or it might disappoint the other person initially. But in the long run, you'll avoid the uncertainty that harms relationships over time. Being assertive doesn't mean that you're gonna get sushi. It means that you at least have the conversation about whether you're gonna have pizza or sushi or go out for Mexican, right? Trying hard to always just go with it or never make anyone sad will or never inconvenience anyone is gonna lead to feelings of frustration and a lack of honesty and security in the relationship. Assertiveness is not the same as demanding, controlling, or always getting what you want. It's about openly expressing yourself in an honest and kind way. Some people mistake kindness for never making the other person feel bad. But if someone has a huge piece of food stuck in their teeth, when you tell them, they'll initially feel a little embarrassed. This is going to be uncomfortable, but they'll be grateful not to go the whole day with food in their teeth. Giving honest feedback or correcting a child or honestly telling your partner what you like in bed can all feel pretty uncomfortable, but they can also be the steps that help improve the relationship over time. Nick Wignall said, most of us have a hard time communicating assertively because in one way or another, we're afraid. Being assertive can take effort because sometimes others respond negatively and that can feel uncomfortable. It can be easy to fall into the rut of communicating passively because we're afraid of what others think, or we're afraid of being judged, or we just don't want to deal with the hassle or drama of standing up for what we want. We may communicate aggressively because we want to feel powerful or in control, and this might help lessen our insecurities. And when we communicate passive-aggressively, we want to relieve our internal anger or hurt without taking the responsibility for the consequences of it. In both of those situations, we're letting fear make our decisions for us. And while these three communication styles may help us avoid conflict or negative feelings in the short term, they always undermine relationships in the long run. People feel like they can't trust you. You either don't say what you think, at least not to their face, or you blow up. And when we communicate this way, we lose our self-esteem, we distance ourselves from others, and we invite others to feel unsafe around us. Assertiveness, on the other hand, is often more uncomfortable in the short term, but it leads to lasting benefits. In order to speak assertively, we may feel anxious, or we might feel nervous, or we'll feel vulnerable or uncertain of how others will respond. And saying what you really think and feel requires vulnerability, opening yourself up, letting others see you, and risking rejection. Changing over to speaking more assertively may be met with some initial resistance from family or friends who aren't used to hearing what you really think. They might tell you that you're being selfish or rude. But in the long run, assertive communication is worth it because it lays the foundation for healthy relationships. Being assertive has many benefits. It can help you gain self-confidence and self-esteem. It can decrease anxiety and dependency. It can improve trust in relationships. It can lead to less resentment towards others. It can help you understand and recognize your feelings. It can help you earn respect from others, improve communications, create win-win situations. It can improve your decision-making skills and create more honest relationships. and it can help you have more job satisfaction. It's a mistake to look at someone who's assertive and say, oh, it's easy for her. She has good self-esteem. One of the ways you build self-esteem is by being assertive when it's not easy to do so. There are always times when self-assertiveness requires courage, no matter how high your self-esteem. So here are some keys to assertiveness. Examine your underlying beliefs. Check out the attached quiz, which I've adapted from Easy to Love, Difficult to Discipline, and see if you believe more in assertiveness, aggression, or passivity. Value yourself and your opinions. Know your needs and wants. Recognize the difference between being kind and being avoidant. Express corrective feedback in a positive, loving way. We're going to talk more about this in the chapter on giving and receiving feedback. Giving feedback can be a really important way to improve relationships, but you've got to learn how to do it in a respectful and helpful way. To be assertive, you have to learn to say no. You have to know your limits and not let others take advantage of you. And being assertive often requires you to work in a collaborative way, to look for option C, alternatives that everyone can agree on. You keep the focus on what's best for the we instead of for just you or me. And when you can keep your eye on that goal, everyone can feel good about the outcome, even if it involves a sacrifice. And with many topics, you can agree to disagree. You can still be assertive, but not always get your way. Okay, so how do we practice being assertive? One of the easiest ways to learn this is to start by practicing with safe people first. So ask family or friends if you can practice with them. You could also practice with like little tiny things, like asking for a different table at a restaurant or asking for extra peanuts on a flight. Practice ahead of time, so before you're in an intense situation. So if you want to ask for a raise from your boss or you want to, you know, give some feedback to someone, you practice ahead of time. You could write it down or say it in a mirror. Just getting your words ready so that in the heat of the moment, you have something that you could say. The other thing you can do is just pause for a long time before responding to a request. That can give you some time to think about what you're going to say before you say it. If asking for what you want isn't working, you may need to set a boundary. A boundary is about what you will do in response to their behavior, whether that's with a child, with a spouse, or at work. So you could say something like, you know, if you don't make your bed, then I won't let you play with your friends today. Or at work, if you don't abide by the contract, I will be forced to pursue legal action, right? So setting a boundary can help reinforce assertiveness. If it's an area that you can't set a boundary on, then really it's just a request. And you can still be assertive in making a request, but knowing the difference is all about knowing where is your locus of control. And I go into that a lot more in my videos on boundaries. Be willing to make imperfect decisions. Make a decision without being totally sure of whether it's the right thing or what you want. So being assertive requires you to put yourself out there a little bit. You can practice by saying no to unreasonable requests. Stop over-apologizing. Stop trying to manage how others feel. So act on the value of being kind. Don't act on trying to prevent others from being hurt. That's out of your realm of control. Learn to tell the difference between feeling guilty and being guilty. In enmeshed relationships, others often try to guilt trip you to make you change your behaviors. But just because something feels uncomfortable, or it makes you or it makes others feel bad, it doesn't mean you've done something bad. Feeling guilt can be a chance to examine your motives and your actions and to ask the question, did I actually do something wrong? If you didn't do anything wrong, there's nothing to fix, there's nothing to repair. It's just a feeling. So learn to tolerate that feeling without needing to act on it. Okay, I hope some of these tips are helping you learn how to communicate more assertively. And as you do so, that's going to help you improve your relationships. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow on day 25. We're going to talk about flooding. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com. Thank you for listening and take care.
Mm-hmm.